Bickley and Murata mornings from 6 to 10.
Bickley and Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata.
Good morning and welcome.
The world.
Dan Bickley.
Sports, man. Sports.
Vince Murata.
The power-packed morning zoo. Are you kidding me?
Bickley and Murata.
Spectacular.
This is the greatest show.
Bickley and Murata.
I love this show. This is the greatest show in the history of radio.
It's the greatest radio show ever.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world. What is happening, Valley sports fans? Happy Friday to everybody. And if we have learned anything on Bickley and Murata mornings, it is that Fridays are always happiest for those in morning radio.
It's true.
Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm downright giddy right
now. Yeah, so am I. Now, I saw a link before we get into our show today. I saw a link. I didn't click on it. The link says, man sets Guinness Book of World Records for loudest burp. Was that you, Jarrett? If I click on this show, will I find that that was you?
Don't even need to click. I could read it and enact it right now.
Yeah, because Jared's already had three meals this morning.
How many decibels?
Right. That's why I didn't click on it. Because somebody had a measure. Right.
Oh,
thank
poor
you.
Person.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
What do you do for a living? Well, I measure the decibel levels of belches.
Oh, really? I'm a urine sample collector. Nice to meet you. Yeah, there you go.
Wow. I kind of want to hear this now.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of.
Dave, you.
I'm going to have to look into it now.
Okay, look into it. See if it's arable.
Jared sees an opportunity to break a record.
That's right. That's right.
I don't know if maybe everybody did. I had a friend who was like, could do burps on command and
right,
do them
and
really
like,
loud.
And like say words with burps.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. My brothers.
Alphabet?
Uh-huh.
Your brothers?
Very skilled burpers, my brothers.
Did not pass along.
Quite a talent to
from
have,
the burping
isn't
gazelles.
That's our band name,
the
actually.
The Family Von Trapp and the Burping Gazelles.
The Osmonds and the...
Right, exactly.
I'm the one who just dances with the trombone, though. That's my job.
That's right.
The mighty, mighty burp tone.
Yeah!
Oh, look at that. All right, Jared, check it out. Start the show while you do that, please.
The Splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Get him out coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
Yep, no big deal. New franchise record for the Phoenix Suns. 18 straight wins. They beat the Pistons last night, 114 to 103. Cam Johnson and Cameron Payne, who are now like kind of tied together because they come into the game and leave the game usually at the same time, mm-hmm. and have been known by fans near courtside as Cam Cam. They both had 19 points off the bench. Mikal Bridges, 18. Suns looked like they were going to blow out the young Pistons. They led by 18 at halftime, but Detroit owned the third quarter. They outscored the Suns 30-18. They closed to within 1 point on Cade Cunningham's three-pointer with 2:20 left in the third. Suns regrouped. They shot the ball well in the fourth quarter, and they get their new franchise record, and there's no rest as they are in San Francisco tonight for a rematch against the Warriors. That game has been flexed to an ESPN national telecast in place of Lakers-Clippers.
Oh, I'm so there for
that. I wonder if LeBron thinks that's fishy.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny. I love everything about that. I have a lot to say about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just leave it at that.
Tuesday's game, by the way, between the Warriors and Suns was TNT's highest-rated non-opening night game in terms of ratings since 2019.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tip-off tonight, 8 o'clock. Pre-game coverage from San Francisco gets underway at 7:30 right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Yeah, Landry Shamet with another game-sealing three now. He's got a couple of those, which is good.
We need a nickname for him.
Okay.
The Dagger.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good. Not the most crisp of performances. Certainly not one of the sparkling jewels of this 18-game winning streak, but they found a way to win.
Hey, they all can't be beautiful.
No, absolutely not. There were a lot of them in that streak that were not. That's cool.
Probably more ugly ones. The Cleveland game.
Yeah. Sacramento.
Before last night's game, Suns head coach Monty Williams named the Western Conference Coach of the Month for November after leading them to a 16-0 record in the month. Chicago's Billy Donovan won the honor in the Eastern Conference. We had another NBA record last night. In case you weren't glued to your TV to watch Memphis and Oklahoma City, the Grizzlies beat the Thunder 152-79. The 73-point differential breaks the record that was previously held by the 1991 Cleveland Cavaliers, who beat Miami by 68 points in a game that year.
All right, a couple things about that. Number one, this is not two colleges where there should be that much difference between the two. The Grizzlies at one time led by 78 points over another NBA team without Ja Morant.
Did you see the lineup that was on the floor for Oklahoma City?
I've
watched them. Actually, I went out of my way to watch them with the free preview of NBA League Pass. I was getting it. I watched the beginning of a game, and I said, how are they going to compete? They've actually beaten the Lakers twice this year.
That's funny.
They're starting five. Lugans Dort.
What a Dort!
Darius Baisley, Jeremiah Robinson Earl, Trey Mann, and Ty Jerome.
Jeremiah
Robinson Earl, who's a rookie, in 23 minutes and 33 seconds of playing time was a minus 56.
That's got to also be an all-time record.
I saw this tweet, too, that my friend shared with me. Rob Perez, who tweets about the NBA a lot. Angola lost to the Dream Team by 5 less points than Oklahoma City did to Memphis.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good tweet.
That Dream Team didn't have Jeremiah Robinson Earl, though.
They didn't have Lugans Dort.
Yeah, if I own the Thunder, I'm firing everybody this morning. Everybody.
But I don't know. Do they expect to win
ridiculous.
With that talent?
No,
they
don't.
That's what happens in the NBA.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Well, how did you end up with that talent?
Yeah. They got a max player on their team.
But they do have 38 draft picks in the next two years.
Yes, they do.
Exactly.
LeBron James will be back. He was cleared by the NBA out of its health and safety protocols, and he's back on the court tonight against the Clippers. Cardinals continuing preparation for Sunday's road game in Chicago against the Bears. Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins still both limited in practice. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network said Thursday that both Murray and Hopkins are expected to play this Sunday, barring a setback, citing sources. Offensive lineman Justin Pugh and safety James Wiggins were the only non-participants in practice yesterday for the Cardinals.
What a tiresome game this is.
Yeah.
Limited in practice, expected to play, hopeful, moving around. Moving around.
What a fun term that is.
It really is.
We've given birth to a lot of those phrases in the last 2 weeks, haven't we?
Oh, we sure have.
The Dallas Cowboys kicked off week 13 with a 27-17 road win over New Orleans. At the Superdome, Cowboys picked off Taysom Hill 4 times. I wonder if Taysom Hill is going to get another contract extension after he did run for 100 yards.
That's the first 5-game losing streak in Sean Payton's career.
Wow. Coincides with the injury to Jameis Winston.
Mm.
Sorry, Jameis. We were hard on you. Listen to this, okay? If before the season started, we like drafts on this show. If we got together on this show and we had a draft to pick the player who would be suspended for having a fake vaccination card. There's no doubt whoever had the first pick, Antonio Brown would be that pick, right?
Ding, ding,
probably.
Ding.
And guess who it was? It was Antonio Brown who got suspended yesterday by the league for 3 games. The league and players union found that Brown was among 3 players who misrepresented their vaccination statuses. Former personal chef of Brown said earlier this month that the wide receiver had obtained a fake COVID-19 vaccination card over the summer. Safety Mike Edwards also suspended Brown, not appealing the decision. He's accepting the suspension because of the statement held from his team of people was basically like, we can't be bothered to prove our vaccination status. Really?
They can't be bothered to pay the people that do work for them either, obviously.
Well, that too.
I mean, think about how stupid this is.
The stupidity of his career knows no bounds.
Knows no boundaries at all. And just when you thought, okay, he wins the Super Bowl with Tom Brady, somehow all that stuff is kind of in the rearview mirror now. Because there were a couple of years where Antonio Brown was just a disaster. And now it's all back again.
Mm-hmm. ASU quarterback Jaden Daniels made it official. He's coming back to Tempe for another year. He led all quarterbacks in the Pac-12 in completion percentage and rushing yardage for quarterbacks as well, 670, but he's coming back for another year. Pac-12 championship game tonight. in Las Vegas, 10th-ranked Oregon against 17th-ranked Utah. The Utes crushed the Ducks in Salt Lake City 38-7 just 13 days ago, but they've got to do it again to win a championship.
Yeah, it's kind of silly.
Ridiculous.
Where was Jaden Daniels possibly going, by the way?
I guess the transfer portal.
He's a starting quarterback for ASU. Why would you need to transfer?
Because that's what people do in college athletics now.
Because Spencer Rattler's coming in, I guess.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Coyotes back on home ice tonight, hosting Vegas at Gila River Arena. 7:30 is the face-off. Pregame coverage starts on ESPN 620 AM and 98.7 FM HD2 at 7. Yotes also had to release a statement yesterday in response to a couple tweets from Forbes employees indicating the team is for sale again and has designs on relocating to Houston. The statement read, "This is false, totally false. We're not selling. We're not moving. The Coyotes are 100% committed to playing in Arizona." So there's that. Mm-hmm. And GCU hoops a winner again last night. They beat UTSA 74-71.
And guys, I got to tell you,
that burp is beatable.
Little underwhelming.
Yeah.
That's a world record?
Yeah.
What passes for a world record these
decibel
days?
Decibel level.
I think I beat that the other night.
Yeah.
No, Booger from Revenge of the Nerds beat that.
That's right.
Easy.
Get that.
At the spring.
The bottle opener around the neck.
At the spring carnival.
Carbonation.
See his sweet ZZ Top beard, though?
Yeah, it does
he
look like a guy
very
who
cool.
win this record.
Does he?
Super cool. Very cool shades.
Wow.
But yeah, please do play that again, Jarrett.
No?
Oh, he just... Oh, wait, is this a compilation video?
The grunt of satisfaction.
I think this was like his audition video.
Gosh.
All right.
Okay. I'm so sorry I brought that up.
Yeah, me too.
I am and I'm not, actually. I feel both ways right now. I'm conflicted.
Yeah.
There you go. There's your splash for Friday, December 3rd. Coming up next, 18 in a row. It's a new record for the Phoenix Suns. That is next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
FM, Arizona's sports station.
Dan Bickley and Murata.
Bickley and Murata Mornings.
We don't panic. We have guys who've been in a lot of situations. And now we have young guys who've been in a lot of situations. And I don't think you perform well when you panic. We've always told our guys we're not going to let wins and losses affect our culture. And things in the game shouldn't affect your poise. Even though it can at times, but you got to get it back to as solid of a place as you can. But I think a lot of it comes from our leadership. Chris and Book and Jay and D.A. and Mikhail have stepped up in their leadership roles, and, you know, experience helps you with that.
It's Monty Williams after win number 18 in a row, which, again, strangely enough, comes on the heels of a 1-3 start that everybody was somewhat concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't lost since October 27th. They beat the Pistons last night 114-103 to get that win. And, you know, was the energy level in the building the same as it was on Tuesday night against Golden State? No, I didn't expect it to be. But once it became clear that the Suns were going to set that record, the energy was back.
Mm-hmm.
What an accomplishment for this
team.
Yeah,
I agree. This is something that you can now pin and attached to this team when we classify it at the end of the year. When we hopefully have these debates, hopefully there will not be a debate. Hopefully they win a championship, which will trump everything. But when we begin to talk 5-10 years from now, or whoever is sitting here 5-10 years from now, when they begin to talk about the Suns, you'll look back and go, that team won 18 consecutive regular season games or more. What I thought was interesting about it was all throughout this, Monty Williams has not wanted to do any sort of reflecting at all on this. Mm-hmm. He just avoided the subject entirely. I think he maybe kind of feels it might be coming to an end tonight. So last night was a good time to talk about it. And the fact that last night was when they set the record. I look at this thing and like I said, I think there were a few games in this thing where they didn't look so hot. The Minnesota game, for instance, San Antonio, Cleveland, maybe Sacramento early. They've also had some really good road wins. Memphis, the Knicks, the Nets,
uh-huh.
And then the Golden State win was the, you know, coup d'etat, if you will. So, yeah, hats off to them. It's not easy to win 18 straight games. And I also agree with you. I thought at one point in time, early on that it was just going to kind of be a slog to get some elevation on the season.
Yeah, I mean,
but then they just kept winning games.
Kind of bracing for a hangover. You know, it's hard to get back to that, to treat each game with the importance that it needs to. And I'm not even talking about going on a winning streak. I'm just talking about winning the majority of your games. They looked disjointed. They looked a little out of sorts. They were adding some new pieces to the mix. We get it. But now, you know, you've got an 18-game winning streak still intact going into tonight against Golden State, Vic. Mm-hmm. And you've done it with, you lost a contributor in Frank Kaminsky, and people mm-hmm. will scoff at that. He was playing a role for this team. They did five games without DeAndre Ayton. Didn't mm-hmm. have him at all. Now a game and three quarters without Devin Booker, and it's still intact. Detroit's a young basketball team. They're not a very good basketball team yet, and they got some players that are going to be very good, and Jeremy Grant already is very good.
Mm-hmm. They're a four-win team, though. So I mean,
they are.
Yeah.
But again, it comes down to, and Monty talked about it in that soundbite, and the not panicking thing, that is invaluable for an NBA team. Cam Johnson talked about it too.
They did make a run coming back in the game, but you got guys that are seasoned veterans and a team that has been together a little bit and understands how to control crunch time situations. You got a guy like Chris Paul on your team. You're a lot, you know, more calm probably than the other team, and that's kind of just what happened tonight.
Yeah. On that front, we've talked so much during this streak about the not panicking. Clutch time has been a big talking point during this streak. Clutch time, in case you don't know, is a game that's within 5 points in the last 5 minutes of the game. It wasn't really a storyline last night because the Suns didn't let it become a storyline. With 2:57 to go, Sadiq Bey hit a three-pointer to cut the lead to five after a bad turnover by Mikal Bridges. 20 seconds later, Chris Paul hits a four. There was 20 seconds of clutch time last night is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Because Chris Paul hits a jumper. It goes to seven. The lead gets all the way up to 13. Again, inferior talent, but that's what good teams do. When it gets close, they just kind of bow up, and that's what the Suns did. They shot the ball incredibly well in the fourth quarter of that game last night.
Yeah, and this is kind of what I look at when I look back on this winning streak, because now it's at a number where people are like, wow, what a red-hot Phoenix Suns. There was a series of games where they would do exactly what they did last night,
mm-hmm.
beat the other team with incredible clutch time play in those clutch minutes. And then suddenly you're looking and you're stacking up wins. And now you've got a winning streak that's double digits. And now, okay, this is fun. This is getting us headlines. Yeah, I remember their 10th consecutive win was the first time I heard them get a national radio update on my drive-in. When they got to 10, so people began to marginally start to pay attention. You mentioned the Golden State game that set crazy records in terms of viewership,
mm-hmm.
and then it culminates tonight in the Clipper-Laker game getting bounced out of prime time for the Suns-Warriors, which is awesome. Now, the Lakers don't have LeBron. That's obvious, but it doesn't matter. It's the fact that...
They do have LeBron.
He's back.
Oh, he's back tonight. Yeah. Okay.
Just as of yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I missed that.
Yeah. I think that's what he was actually tweeting about, the fishiness thing, because he almost immediately got two negative tests after testing.
Oh, I see. And that's not fishy. Oh, that's right. I did see that. I did. That's right. Okay. My bad. Okay. That in and of itself is quite an accomplishment. That's something that Suns fans can really rally around.
Well, let's frame it this way. I don't feel great about the game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all good things come to an end. If the Suns find a way to win on the road against Golden State and beat them for a second time in 1 week, and they're coming off a back-to-back while Golden State's been home mm-hmm. waiting for them to get there,
oh yeah,
and this thing hits 19, maybe it's a bad thing that this is a Friday game because, you know, the national media will take some time off, but the buzz about this team, if they find a win tonight, is going to be through the roof.
Yeah, there's a lot of risk-reward out there tonight, mm-hmm. in my opinion. If you do beat them for a second time with no rest and no Devin Booker, that is a statement. That's definitely a statement.
And I'm not
saying... The other risk is now you've got this national audience. They give you a payback game at right about when you're about ready to take a loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. It's exciting nonetheless.
Oh, it is.
18 in a row. The Suns get there. We'll relive a lot of it coming up at 7 with Suns in 4. Coming up next, we've talked a lot about phrases like moving around, hopeful, expected to play, what to believe, what will happen on the field Sunday in Chicago against the Bears for the Cardinals. We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Bickley and Marotta. Presented by 72 Soul, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Well, the rules for timeout, Andrew, are basically the amount of time you have to stay in timeout is the amount of minutes as old you are. So if you're 5 years old, you have to stay in timeout for 5 minutes. The main point for these guys, they've been in timeout long enough. So for the Arizona Cardinals, who were on a bye last week and obviously did not have DeAndre Hopkins or star receiver or Kyler Murray, they're starting in star quarterback for the past several games. Both of these guys, I am told, are expected back and to play for the Arizona Cardinals this week, barring some sort of setback. Now, for Kyler Murray, it has been a high ankle sprain that kept him on the sidelines for almost a month, 3 games, and then the bye week for DeAndre Hopkins. It has been a hamstring. You can see right here, D-Hop, pretty active on social media. He knows he is back in action, and barring some sort of something that could happen in practice, both of these guys should be back on Sunday in a big game for the Cardinals.
Okay.
That's Ian Rappaport on Thursday Night Football First Look on NFL Network last night with the timeout analogy.
Yeah, that was that analogy struck me as kind of weird because that almost sounds as if these are Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins are bad children.
Yeah,
they're doing something wrong.
Their absences were punitive as opposed to injury related, which is not the case.
No.
We know that.
No. The other thing is, okay, so Ian Rappaport has a source who gave him information that the Cardinals expect Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins to be back. That's exactly the word Diana Rossini used about Kyler Murray before the Carolina game, or after the Carolina game, actually.
They expected him to play.
They expected him to play. So I wonder if that verbiage means anything. I wonder if that is, okay, Kyler, come on, trust it, let's go. I wonder if it's sort of illuminating the fact that Kyler Murray is very cautious about stuff like this, which he has a history of doing. And so that to me, again, I'm not trying to stir any kind of pots here, but that language to me is very interesting. Like, come on, it's time. You've been resting long enough. It's about time to play some football now.
Do you really think he has a history of doing it?
Well, I don't.
I mean, to this degree, we're missing games. I mean, this is all new territory.
It's happened once, so there's a history of it. Cliff Kingsbury had to prod him to play Week 17 as a rookie. There's a history of it.
I mean, I guess I just look at the scenario. To me, that was him playing in the final game of his rookie season was more a cosmetic Band-Aid than anything else. They won 5 games that year.
I know, but you know, because we talked about it and covered it. It was important. Cliff Kingsbury went out of his way to talk about how proud he was for Kyler Murray to do it.
It's true. And not a lot of quarterbacks get through the rigors of a 16 or 17-game schedule anymore. So it is somewhat of a badge of honor. I get it.
And with everything that was on the line in Week 17, and we watched him going in and out of that tunnel before he finally did come back on the field in the fourth quarter, whatever, that's history. I'm not interested in critiquing him. I'm just saying that I wonder if this is, you know, a little bit of frustration. Come on, man, play. Let's go. But again, Kyler Murray the history I'm speaking of is reticence to play football unless he feels 100%, at least with his legs. Now, we've seen footage of him at practice. Mm-hmm. We have not seen him accelerate.
And that's probably
the thing that Kyler Murray is judging. So it'll be interesting because it's going to be a wet, sloggy track, gusty winds. Yeah, it doesn't sound like it's a pretty day to play football.
It's going to be a Chamber of Commerce Sunday in Chicago.
Yeah, in Chicago.
I agree with you what you said, reticence to play unless he's 100%, which we've talked a lot about. Obviously, this year, we've talked about it in years past. In 2 games against the Rams in his first 2 years, it became a subject. Do you think, and I kind of feel this way, I think Kyler Murray is in kind of a class to himself when it comes to that question. because of, you know, what his legs provide this offense.
Without a doubt.
And last year, when he was not 100%, and he did play through an injury that was not leg-related, by the way, but we saw a hesitance for him to be full Kyler Murray all the time. The offense suffered. Mm-hmm. The win-loss record suffered.
Mm-hmm.
This year, the evolution continues because it's not Kyler Murray gashing out 30-yard runs and really beating teams in terms of accumulating yardage with his legs, but extending plays, getting outside of the pocket. He's been masterful at it.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of think he's almost in his own category when it comes to that, because even if you look at other mobile quarterbacks, whether it's good runners or players who are able to extend plays with their legs, they welcome more physical contact. Lamar Jackson comes to mind. We saw one last night, Taysom Hill. By the way, Taysom Hill, he may never be a full-time starter in this league. He's always going to be battling injuries because of the way he plays football.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of put Kyler like in that category to himself, and I think that's one of his strengths is self-awareness, self-preservation, and self-protection.
Yeah.
We're to that point now that after 3 weeks off and a bye week, I think that chatter would get louder if he wasn't out there this week about, is this guy physically tough enough to play through stuff?
Without a doubt. I think that if we got to kickoff on Sunday and all of a sudden Kyler Murray is inactive, I think people would be like, what? What's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would have happened had Colt McCoy not played so well against Seattle.
Like Ian Rappaport said, unless there's a setback between now and Sunday,
mm-hmm.
if there's nothing reported in terms of a setback and it's just like, yeah, we're going to hold him out again.
Right.
Then it's going to get pretty loud.
That's my point. And then you also have to wonder what happens internally because of that. You know, that for football teams, to be great, they have to have that feeling that everybody is going through the wall and to the wall together.
Uh-huh.
And if you've got unwilling participants, it can create divisions. It can create whispers in a locker room. Wolf's talked about this, and he's been in the locker room. It's a real thing in the NFL.
Uh-huh.
You're in a league of some of the most courageous athletes on the planet, and at some point in time, you've got to show the requisite toughness. Now, I'm speaking theoretically. I'm not speaking about the Arizona Cardinals, but the word expect keeps coming up. And so does the word limited in practice, and so does the word inactive on Sunday. And this is a big game. And again, it's Colt McCoy playing as well as he did against Seattle tamped that down last week or 2 weeks ago. It made it a non-issue, which was one of the best things Colt McCoy could have done for this entire narrative and for Kyler Murray. But If now you've got Ian Rappaport saying he expects that the team expects him to play, and he's using this analogy of you've been in timeout long enough, that's a weird analogy to drop. It's almost as if there's a frustration, like, come on, you've had enough time.
But it also implies, if he's saying that you've been in timeout long enough, it's like the team is the one that's holding him back. Because it's the parent that puts the kid in timeout. The kid doesn't decide when to come out of timeout.
Right,
true.
But
I just think it was a clunky analogy.
Do we think that's what's happening? I don't.
No. But you're right, though, about the language over the last month has done neither side any favors.
No.
Because when they say he's a game-time decision,
mm-hmm.
4 weeks ago,
yeah.
and he still hasn't played,
that's right.
It makes Kyler Murray look bad that he's not playing.
That's exactly right.
And we're right in the middle of the changing of the thinking in the NFL and all sports for that matter. 20 years ago, it was unequivocally accepted as you're a tough guy. It's a badge of honor. You play through injury. Man, what a great teammate. You're a warrior. Mm-hmm. And now it's not like that anymore. Teams are more cautious. Even though the training and the treatment and the technology is better in helping players with injuries, it's no longer viewed as you just got to play through everything. It's about career longevity. There's a financial aspect to it. It's a big, messy stew.
Murray has got a contract extension in front of him as well.
That is true.
And so there's that. And there's, like I said, it's the only playing when you're 100% okay. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think this is going to be the story of Kyler Murray. And I think it's we're just going to have to accept it. It's just going to be part of that narrative because he's one of one in that category.
All that being said, and I don't even want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to. What is my gut says he plays. My gut says he and Hopkins both play prominent roles on Sunday.
Yeah, I said yesterday I'm a little more worried about DeAndre Hopkins just based on the weather and a hamstring versus an ankle sprain. But I think Kyler is going to play. I'm not sure about DeAndre. I hope they both do.
Monday, I would have said 100%. I think both of them are going to play. It's almost like each day now I'm less convinced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the limited in practice yesterday was, again, another like, really? Wow.
I guess, and I think we're going to get another limited in practice today.
Probably.
Yeah.
And it'll be another game time decision. Yeah.
You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line. It's open at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, championship teams, especially ones looking to repeat, they have to overcome distractions. There's another one for the defending champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll get into all of it next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Bickley and Marotta. Presented by 72 Sold. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
The NFL announced suspensions for three players, three games each, including the Buccaneers wide receiver Antonio Brown and the safety Mike Edwards for violating COVID protocols, having what they believe to be fake vaccination cards.
It's Adam Schefter of ESPN breaking the news yesterday. This has been talked about for a while, and it seemed like the Buccaneers were convinced that Antonio Brown had a real vaccination card. The news comes out yesterday, three-game suspensions, not being appealed by any of the players. The other key player, Mike Edwards, one of the backup safeties. The Buccaneers can ill afford to lose anybody else in their secondary, so that might be a factor. Antonio Brown hasn't been totally available this year anyway. They've kind of navigated through it, but this is more than a bad look. This can be kind of one of those derailing-type distractions, in my opinion. And Antonio Brown has built his career on derailing type distractions.
So you think this might affect Tampa?
It might. Yeah, absolutely it might. Now again, they've overcome him not being available. They took him in last year when he was as toxic as it could be in the NFL, and they overcame that. But how long do you stick with it? I mean, is he that important to your success? I mean, they might be better off just saying goodbye to Antonio Brown at this point.
Yeah, I think a lot of things about this. I think, number one, the chronology of this is at some point in time, the Buccaneers were aware and Antonio Brown was made aware and he got vaxxed. That's where I think the story is now. So I think I don't think this is necessarily news to the Buccaneers, but I do think that it really does illustrate how recklessly stupid Antonio Brown can be.
Oh, yeah. Marcus Spears from ESPN agrees.
This is so dumb. First of all, pay attention to your history, bro. Like, why would you put yourself in this particular situation? Yeah. Just don't get vaccinated. Yeah. We just saw Amari Cooper. He's not vaccinated. He had to send out 10 games. It is one of the stupidest things I've seen since I've been covering the NFL. It's stupid, it's dumb, and it's typical of what Antonio Brown history has told us about who he is. It is ridiculous.
Dan Orlovsky from ESPN.
I don't think three games is enough.
Why?
I don't think three games is enough. You lied to everybody. You lied to your team. You lied to the league. You put everybody else in jeopardy on your football team. Three games is not enough for this. So this is stupid. It's selfish. It's ignorant.
It's ridiculous.
It's disrespectful. Yeah. I don't think three games is enough.
Listen, I think what you're saying is going to come down to what does Bruce Arians feel about this? Does Bruce Arians feel that he, as an elderly dude with health issues, does he feel like that dude endangered me through lying? And again, the stupidity of Antonio Brown, this doesn't happen if he pays a personal chef. If he pays his bills, this does not happen.
He doesn't pay any of his bills.
Right. And this is so maybe on GP, you say, look, we're just done with you. This is just too moronic. The problem is that Tom Brady is Antonio Brown's biggest advocate. I don't know why, but you remember in New England how disappointed he was when the Patriots pulled the plug on him. For whatever reason, Tom Brady really likes what Antonio Brown brings him on a football field. So
yeah.
Derail the Bucs, I don't think that's going to happen. Do the Bucs make a stand and just cut him loose? I think that all depends on how BA feels about this story.
Well, also, I mean, the statement that Antonio Brown's team put out there, this is from Sean Burstyn, who represents Antonio Brown. Mr. Brown is vaccinated and continues to support the vaccine for any person for whom it is appropriate. The NFL made its determination, and instead of going through the drawn-out and distracting process of challenging the outcome, Mr. Brown wrapped this up promptly, and he will make this the most of this time by treating his ankle injury. Mr. Brown will be motivated, well-rested, and in the best shape of his life when he returns in Week 16. That's saying, yeah, my client is a filthy liar and tried to pull one over on the Buccaneers and the league. And, oh, by the way, it is all because he didn't pay a debt.
And people have said, okay, well, why does Aaron Rodgers get off scot-free? Well, the difference is the Packers knew about what Aaron Rodgers was doing. Even though he deceived the media, the Packers knew what his deal was.
Here's the deal with Antonio Brown, though. You know, do I believe the Buccaneers would have won the Super Bowl without Antonio Brown last year? I do. I think they got hot at the right time. I think he played a role. It wasn't a major role. He's played in five games this year. They've won all five of those games. Four of those games, he's actually played really well. He's got three touchdowns in the last two games he played. Of course, he hasn't played since the middle of October. Can they overcome this? Yes. I don't know why good teams with great chemistry and leadership put up with this kind of garbage.
That's a fair point. That's a really fair point. Do you as the Buccaneers like the fact that Antonio Brown can still get open on most defenders and give you a couple of plays in big games that matter? Is it worth this kind of garbage?
Yeah, I guess they're deciding it is. Brian Kelly, the new head coach of LSU. Man, is he acclimating himself to Baton Rouge very quickly. At the LSU basketball game last night, he took the microphone, made a speech, and a lot of people had thoughts about it.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, this is a great way to get started, and I haven't even won all my games yet. It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family. And we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
What a pandering ass.
Thank
Classic.
You. That's a good way. That's a good moniker for him.
He's
Brian
classic,
Kelly, the pandering
classic
ass.
Massachusetts accent. There.
Yeah, listen, the dude is from Massachusetts. He spent his entire career in the Midwest, and now he's fabricating a Southern accent.
So glad to be here with my family. How about the fact that I haven't even won all my games yet? I don't know if you know this, but LSU is running with this as well. Brian Kelly, in addition to his regular coaches shows that he'll do as the head coach of the LSU Tigers,
right,
he's starting his own Cajun cooking show.
Oh, really?
The pilot
really?
Episode is out, and you thought that accent was thick. Listen to what Brian Wilson sounds like, or Brian Kelly sounds like now.
You know how come the chicken crossed the road, huh? Ready to run away from them Cajuns, I'll tell you right now, because Cajuns will eat most anything, and they love to cook chicken. They love to eat chicken. That's for true. I'll tell you that right now. I guarantee.
I listen, love that show.
Yeah, so did I.
Before they had like the Food Network and 24-hour cooking shows, they had the Frugal Gourmet guy.
Yes.
And they had that guy. And Julia Child, yeah. And so you'd have
that
to like...
Frugal Gourmet guy, though, turned out to be a real weirdo,
hello.
Didn't he?
Whoops. Yeah, big trouble.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
But in the moment...
Right. Justin Wilson was born too soon. He would have been a Food Network superstar.
He would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. I love that show. But, again, this really tells you everything you need to know about Brian Kelly. That right there tells you everything. It also tells you everything that very few assistant coaches are coming with them. That shows you that what he did was kind of heinous.
But they're not part of his family?
My family?
I feel kind of relieved. Because my dad's no longer with us, and my dad always had a soft spot for Notre Dame. football, so I always had a soft spot for Notre Dame football, and I can't stand Brian Kelly, so I have a hatred for Notre Dame football. So that's been lifted. I wish nothing but bad things on LSU football now.
But the thing is they're going to be very, very successful because he's had at Notre Dame, you've got recruiting restrictions. Kids have to go to class at Notre Dame, right? It's kind of like Stanford. Stanford that way, and they have exactly. And so it's all guardrails are off now at LSU. But that is so insulting to think that your audience is that dumb that you could talk like that. Hi, everybody.
I bet he does think that. It's
I bet he does.
Ooh, it's the South.
Yeah, right.
Bunch of dummies down here.
Right, exactly. That's kind of what's happening there. Ooh, that guy.
Condescending ass.
Yes,
the
pandering ass.
The pandering
I like that.
Ass.
Yeah, and listen.
Besmirching
Look,
Frank.
Just
pandering
because,
ass.
Yeah. Because he started three of the four sentences with, I do declare. he always talks like that. What
I'm fixing to win some football games.
Shows up in seersucker.
I guarantee
it.
Yeah, carrying a fan in a seersucker suit.
Yeah.
And a white straw hat.
I can't.
This sweet tea is delicious, I tell you.
Coming up next, Suns hit 18 in a row. We'll relive it. Suns in four straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.